Well, welcome to our April the 30th, 2024 weekly devotional. Title scripture says, "Then Jesus cried out and said, He who believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me, sees him who sent me." Goes on to say, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son does in a like manner also." It seems to me that Yeshua, Jesus, wants us to understand that he is not in any way different from the Father, nor in any way teaching us anything in conflict with the Torah, the law of Moses. What do you think he was telling the Pharisees by saying, "Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" The people of Yeshua's day included many who understood the Torah's teachings, which we can look back into, of course, now with 2020 hindsight, and see many revelations of the Messiah within its text. Some of them did not know who he was. Some preferred otherwise, because the temple priest and the religious political cabal, like much of today's crowd, were self-focused, and although they had the Torah for instruction, they had more relationship with their oral teachings and traditions, and they cherry-picked divine doctrine for their financial and political interest. Following the Torah was not convenient to their interest. My opinion is that they surely knew it, making them blatantly disobedient without remorse. Consider what John wrote in these nearby scripture verses. "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogues. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." This shamefully describes a great majority of our modern-day religious community. Yahweh is relegated to a more convenient subsection of the agenda, more as a community patron than the King of Righteousness. They do not deny his being, but they simply do not know or acknowledge their place in the pecking order. But they will soon find out. The book Jeremiah and Ezekiel has much to say about misconduct of false prophets and pastors, similar to Pharisaical priest misconduct in their intended role in proper representation of the Most High God. Our modern age has volumes of information available for pastors and laymen alike. No one claiming to be a believer will stand before the judgment seat of Yahweh, Yeshua, and be able to plead ignorance, or "my pastor said this or that." Connect this previously posted verse, if you will, to this thinking. "Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" At this point, I wish to call our attention to a mental or intellectual mind block that has existed since Yeshua's time, that being the conflict in our thinking about the Old Testament and the New Testament. I think a lot of this originated from the Roman Church's efforts in Constantine's time, around 325 Common Era. They made great effort to blot out the Jews' religion from their culture, so much so that it gave rise to a replacement theology. For example, the church replaced the Jews as Yahweh's chosen people and his plan to redeem the nations and bless them through Abraham and his seed. With all this as a backdrop, let's consider the cunningness of the devil to subvert the plan of Yahweh for men to be in the unity of the faith, which can only have Yeshua as the central focus and the purpose of men's attention. Yeshua spoke the words of John 5:46 and 47, and now when we read it some 2,000 years later, If we are Holy Spirit-filled believers, we should hear the warning alarm sounding in our thinking. We should ask the question, does this same indictment still apply to everyone? Yes, it does, unless they are washed in the blood of Yeshua and repent of their sins and turn to Him, Yahweh's Word, for lifestyle and fellowship with Yeshua and the brethren. No Old Testament or New Testament claim to doctrine will save us on that fateful day. The meddling of religious men and devious demons of destruction have successfully kept a division between Yahweh's people, namely the sons of Jacob and the followers of Christ, although they both consist of many divisions and denominations that further muddy the clear water of truth. I have done much study and examination of the history and the involvement of the church and the practice of religion and the fracture of cultures and peoples, nations, throughout time. Religious wars occur in both the natural and the spiritual environs, although it takes flesh and blood to act upon either the good seed of Torah or the bad seed of Cain. Good seed yields good fruit, bad seed yields bad fruit, and so goes the annals of men in history. They conceive by one or the other of the seeds and act accordingly. Nothing is by happenstance. Everything produces after its own kind. This brings me to a major and I think a very significant and profound observation. What could happen if all men read the Bible from the front and studied the lessons like Yahweh intended us to understand it? Remember, Yeshua said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do, for whatever He does, the Son also does in a like manner." For this to work for us, we must know what Yeshua saw the Father do. I submit to you, Moses wrote these "what the Father does" examples for us to understand in the Torah. Yeshua said, "For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" All this is still true today. Nothing has changed in this particular narrative. So, if Yeshua refers to the writings of Moses as writings about him, and that if we believe the writings of Moses, then we should be able to believe Yeshua's words. Why is that? It's because they are one and the same. Because when Yeshua said that if he only did what the Father does, then we know that the Father and Yeshua are one, and that the Word is one, and that Yeshua is the Word that became flesh, and there's no variation with Him at all. So all these things are not complicated. They are quite simple if we just accept them for the truth that's in the face value of what the Word says. Several years ago, teacher Eddie Chumney, a favorite of mine for over 17 years, gave a message in YouTube video link here in a church, I think in the British Isles somewhere. He eloquently, with divine inspiration, I think, teaches us to really appreciate what it means to understand the way Yahweh intended for us to study the Bible. For both the sons of Jacob and the believers in Christian fellowship, both of whom will be one in the last day. And neither of us will bring our own doctrine of Old Testament or New Testament and any prejudiced thinking with us. The closing scripture here says, and this is the end of the age and the new millennium, says, after it's all said and done, says, "Many nations shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law, the Torah, shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.'" Isn't that amazing? In the very final days of time, God is going to still be sending the very same word out of the mountain of the Lord in the new millennium as he sent forth from Mount Sinai, and everything that Yeshua represented and everything that the sons of Jacob tried to believe and understand, everything that we Christians claiming to be born again claim to understand, all the stuff that we all have slightly mixed up and confused in one way or another, We're all going to get it all straightened out. And we're all going to be one. God says he's going to bring back the people and make them one people under one great shepherd, Yeshua, and that he's going to plant us in the land as one people. And that one people, Israel, is that people who love the Lord God Almighty. The Bible says that they are the ones who overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives until the death, and they were the ones who had the commandments of God and had the testimony of Yeshua. Today, as we try to reconcile the differences that the sons of Jacob have with Christianity, we need to start by starting in the front of the book and reading and studying what God intended for us to understand and realize that Yeshua didn't come and change anything. He just came and gave us an example of how to be a better believer in walking in the ways of the teachings of the Torah. Because in that day that comes, it says, many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. For looking here as the God of Jacob is the God of Abraham, the same God who gave the promise to Abraham that the destiny of all mankind rested upon the promise he made to Abraham to be a blessing to all the nations. And there's no replacement theology in God's thinking at all. Not then and not now, that he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law, the Torah, shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. It will be good for us to remember that the Torah is a safety rail around us. It's a place where we're safe. It's an ark of safety. And when we stay within the confines of the boundaries of what God has given us for his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, we can walk in that truth and that righteousness and that justice that he wants us to walk in. And that's how Yeshua walked and taught his disciples to walk. And today, we need to get back to the basics. They're not complicated, and they're quite simple. They're just doing what God says. And I hope that we can get our hearts set and fixed on the fact that God just simply wants us to be obedient children, not confused, not following so many different teachings of men or false doctrines or religious-type concepts that try to hype us up and get us excited about getting rich or whatever. God just wants us to be doers of the word, not hearers only. So I hope this devotional is a blessing to you, and I hope you are able to get something out of that perhaps would make you have some thoughts that would be profitable for you. Blessings and amen.